I'm ready to take the next step.
I'm ready for a university that will help me advance in my education and career.
A university that will make me feel supported and connected.
I'm ready for ODU Online.
Click this ad or go to online.odu.edu today.
Analyst Scott Snellings. Now, he has handled severe crash cases in the past.
And done a wonderful, great job.
Scott,
great job.
Scott, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning?
Good, good. Boy, Scott, this is rough. You know, Brad and I were talking about this a few minutes ago.
This is crazy.
It's very difficult to tell an elderly driver they can't drive anymore, right?
Well, I tell you what, it's taken away kind of the last vestige of independence and mobility, which is something that it's kind of the last thing that they have going for them at that time. Certainly over here where I am in Texas, you know, the public transportation is nothing to scream at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like Brad and I were saying, you know, you're right. In some parts of the country, Brad, it's easier to get a ride.
Oh, very.
Yeah. But like Scott just said, in Texas and other states, it's not that easy. So, you know, Scott, in your view, what kind of licensing or additional testing should be needed for an elderly driver?
And one other thing, too, Scott, is it true that more than 5 million Americans suffer from mild cognitive impairment?
Well, yeah, I think those statistics are absolutely correct. And they're not just talking about the elderly. They're talking about the significant traumatic brain injuries that we're seeing.
Yes.
I deal with traumatic brain injury clients quite frequently. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if that number was on the low side. In terms of, you know, what states should do, I think a lot of states are have it right where, you know, they're increasing the frequency of having your license renewed, and they're putting on some additional requirements such as vision testing. And then they're also giving some of the driver's license employees the ability to say, hey, something's not quite right here. Why don't we refer this person for a road test?
Yeah,
I think that's probably a pretty good idea, but at the same time, you're not going to catch everybody like that.
No.
In most states, I think pretty much all of them except for California, doctors are not even required to report a diagnosis of dementia. I've had several cases where a person diagnosed with dementia is out driving and causes a crash.
Wait, really?
Wow.
That's California.
That's California, yeah.
Wow.
They're pretty much one of the only ones that require the physicians to report that.
Okay, so in California, they've got to tell the state DMV there that this person has dementia, they cannot drive any further.
Well, they're just required to report it.
Okay.
Then the state can take whatever actions they deem necessary, such as requiring to go through a road test or what have you.
You know, and our guest is Scott Snellings, a legal analyst who's handled severe crash cases involving elderly drivers. Scott, the other thing I think a lot of elderly people don't or should understand is that, you know, they're older. They may have amassed a nice amount of savings, maybe a nice little retirement nest egg or something they want to give their kids or their grandkids. Well, if they get into an accident and they hurt or kill or injure somebody or some people, they could very easily get sued and lose, you know, all or a good portion of what they worked for their whole lives.
That's absolutely right. People like me, quite frankly, who do personal injury, we're looking to help our clients be fully compensated for all the injuries and losses that they've suffered. If you're out there and you have a diagnosis of dementia or you know you shouldn't be driving, juries don't look kindly upon those kind of things.
Yeah.
Say, Scott, a couple of things, too. When I ran across these figures, and I hope that the folks that are listening will tune in for this, and I just was wondering if it's so. 42 million licensed drivers over the age of 65 in 2016, which is a 56% increase from 1999.
Wow.
Are these true figures?
Well, it certainly wouldn't surprise me. I don't have those figures right in front of me, but obviously our population is continuing to age. People are living longer, and that's a good thing. But, you know, I think we need to probably have our driver's licensing laws keep up with the fact that people are aging and growing older. You know, there is no federal law.
Yeah.
This is all state by state. So maybe that's something that we want to look at as well.
And, Scott, obviously, in closing here, we know you have to go. Obviously, in closing, you know, parents and kids, especially kids of elderly parents, they have to have that talk with their parents, right, which is a difficult one. I had it with my father. You know, when you got to say mom or dad or auntie or uncle, you know, we really think you shouldn't be driving anymore. And that's not easy for a kid to do with his parent.
Well, I tell you what, I remember my dad having to have that talk with my grandfather, a World War II veteran. And I remember, you know, kind of the feeling that he had in his stomach because he told me, like, this is not something that I look forward to doing, son, but you're probably going to have to do this for me one day.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's our responsibility because we're the ones who know them the best, right? We're the ones who know when they're reaching the point where they shouldn't be driving any further.
Scott Snellings, legal analyst, handled severe crash cases involving the elderly. Tough issue. Scott, thank you.
Thanks a million, Scott.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Scott. Thank you. That's it, Brad.
Boy,
you gotta,
would you stop to think about
it? I remember having to tell my father, I said, Dad, you